Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on third day, he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
So there's no doubt about it. In the Gospel of Luke, sometimes the 12 disciples of Jesus do come across as being just a little bit thick. I mean, here Jesus is. He's revealing all these truths about himself, who he is and his mission on earth. And he talks about his death and his resurrection. And the disciples, it's sort of like, just don't get it. And yet it's so clear. And it wasn't until all of these things happened and Jesus was raised from the dead that they finally remembered all of the stuff that Jesus had told them while he was still alive. And, that's what he was talking about. It's sort of like the penny drops and, now I get it. But maybe it wasn't really their fault, because even as Jesus was saying this stuff, God kept it hidden from them. And that's the way it continues today. Whenever the message of Jesus and the message of salvation in his name is proclaimed, some people are blinded to it. The message of the cross to them just seems like foolishness, and it makes absolutely no sense to them. But then there's others who hear exactly the same message, maybe on exactly the same day. But for them, it becomes a life-changing moment. And the thing that the other person has rejected, well, these others, they receive it as the words of life. They believe and they repent of sin and they find forgiveness. They find hope. They find life. They find purpose, all in the name of Jesus. And so in today's reading, we've got the disciples and they have eyes to physically see with, but they cannot see. And then we have a blind man. And he has no sight, but he recognizes who Jesus is. And because of his faith, he actually regains his physical sight. So, Jesus took the 12, all right? This is one of those times where Jesus would have a time of intimate sharing. One of those times where Jesus would take only his 12 closest followers and share with them intimately and deeply. And he told them, "We're going to Jerusalem. And everything that is written about the Son of Man," that's how Jesus used to refer to himself, "everything that's written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be fulfilled, will be accomplished." And he began to share all of what that was going to entail and the sufferings that he'd have to face. He'll be delivered over to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked. He'll be treated shamefully. he'll be spat upon. And we know all of those things happened to our Lord. The religious leaders, you know, that they could have punished Jesus themselves, but the thing is they didn't have the authority to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to execute Jesus. And the only ones who had the authority to do that were the Romans. And so that's why they handed Jesus over to the Gentiles, so that they could do their dirty work for Jesus to be executed. And there's different types of suffering. What do you think about when you think about what Jesus suffered as he approached the cross and as he was crucified? Most of us, we tend to think about the physical pain. We think about the scourge of the whip. We think about the crown of thorns being pushed down into his head. We think about the nails being driven through his flesh. We think about the strain and the stress of those nails on his wrists where he'd pull himself up to get another breath and then flop down again. We think about the physical pain usually, but and the humanness of Jesus suffered enormous physical pain. Crucifixion is just one of the most horrible of deaths. But he also suffered in a different way. And I think it was the godness of Jesus that suffered in this other way, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our holy God. And our holy God, God the Son, was mocked. They made a great old joke of it. They blindfolded him and they hit him. And he goes, prophesy, who hit you that time? And hail the King of the Jews. And they spat on him. And they treated him shamefully. They stripped him naked. The Son of God, stripped naked. For all the people to point their finger at him and laugh at him and make jokes about him. That's what they did to Jesus. What a humiliation for a holy God. Now, we know that Jesus had the power to stop this at any moment. At any moment, he could have called out for his legions of angels and they would have come instantly. They would have come and scorched the earth with those who dared to humiliate the Holy One of God. But Jesus didn't call in the troops. Why? Because this was his purpose. It was foretold by the prophets hundreds of years earlier. And after flogging him, they will kill him. That was foretold by the prophets as well. And Jesus said, and on the third day he will rise. Right, so here Jesus and his disciples are. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And all of that is going to happen when they get there. Now, if you knew that you sort of had a fate like that as you were, you know, going on a trip to Toowoomba or something, you'd probably turn around and go back home again. But they didn't. And the reason that Jesus is telling them this now is because although they cannot understand it at that point, they will understand it later when he's been raised from the dead. And then they would understand that the suffering and death of the Son of God was not some kind of dreadful miscalculation on the part of God. It wasn't sort of like God went, oops, I didn't see that was going to happen. It was entirely the purpose of God. It was God's plan all the way along. This is everything that was written about the Son of Man by the prophets. It will be accomplished when we get to Jerusalem. That's what Jesus is telling them. But as I mentioned, the disciples, they could not comprehend what Jesus was saying. And three times Luke repeats this. In verse 34, he says, but they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Right? Three times Luke makes sure that we have no doubt that the disciples had no idea. But how could they not know? Jesus had so plainly explained it to them. Well, it was hidden from them. God supernaturally hid it from them. So It was such that even those who were closest to Jesus were blinded to the purpose of Jesus. Now, at this point, Luke goes straight into the very next scene. They're approaching Jericho. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And there they are on the outskirts of Jericho, and there's a blind man. And Jesus obviously has quite a following because the blind man hears the commotion and he asks, what's going on? They say, oh, Jesus is walking past. And now the blind man, he'd obviously heard about Jesus. And he'd obviously heard the stories about Jesus and had time to think about who he was, because immediately he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but this is the only time in the whole of the Gospel of Luke that Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. The only time in the whole of the Gospel of Luke. And this is highly significant. It may not be obvious to you and I, but to the Jews, this was significant because the Son of David is what we call a messianic title. That means the Messiah would be called the Son of David. And here the blind man, who cannot see, has recognized before anyone else that Jesus deserves the title Son of David. And so he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those in front of him, they turn around and go, shut up, you. Keep quiet. But he didn't shut up. He called out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And this reminds me a little bit about the parable that Jesus told in this very same chapter about the parable of the persistent widow. Do you remember that one? Where the persistent widow just kept coming to this judge. And the message, of course, was that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't give up praying. And here we have that poor old blind man that the people are trying to shut him down. And at that point, he could have given up. At that point, he could have sat down and go, Jesus is going to be there for someone else. But how could he sit down and shut up? How could he do that? His faith would not let him. The Messiah was walking past. He had a prayer that needed answering, and the Son of David was there to answer it. Son of David, have mercy on me. And I hope that when you have a prayer for God, that you don't let anyone stop you from praying. Keep on praying. When a prayer to God is a godly prayer, do not stop praying. Keep praying that prayer, because if it's a godly prayer, God will answer it. So the blind man is another example of those who have come to an end of themselves. He had nothing that he could do to fix himself up. He had nothing that he could give God. He had come to an end of himself, and he knew that he needed a saviour. And in his desperation, he recognised Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of David, and he called out for mercy. And that is the only way for us to come to Jesus. You have nothing that Jesus needs. Nothing. I have nothing that Jesus needs. But he has everything that we need. And that's the only way for us to come to him, knowing that he is Lord and that we desperately need his mercy. And there's no surprises what happens next. The kids guessed it, didn't they? Did Jesus heal him? Yes, yes. Jesus calls the blind man over to himself. What do you want me to do for you? Well, I want to be able to see again. And all right, you can see again. Your faith has made you well. And instantly he could see. It was an act of faith. But I want us to consider, what sort of faith was it? What sort of faith did the blind man have? It was faith in who Jesus is. He's the Son of David. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. There's the faith right there. It wasn't faith in the healing itself. It was faith in the person of Jesus. There's a bit of a trend in Christian circles at the moment to be saying, I'm believing for a healing. I'm believing for a miracle. I'm believing for this thing, or I'm believing for that thing. I'm not sure where that ever came from. Faith isn't believing for. Faith is believing in. We don't believe in things. We don't believe in getting things. We believe in a person. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the sort of faith that we are called to today. To a saving faith. To faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, he has the power to save. Yes, he has the power to heal. Yes, he has the power to raise the dead. Yes, he has the power to do anything that he decides to do. But in all of these things, our faith is in him. Anyway, immediately the blind man recovered his sight and he followed Jesus, glorifying God. And then when all of the people saw what happened, they praised God too. Were they praising God for the miracle? Probably. It'd be a spectacular thing to see. It's a person who's been blind all of a sudden receiving their sight. But more importantly, they were praising God for the work of Jesus. And maybe they're even praising God for what Jesus has just had said about him by the blind man. The blind man has just proclaimed that Jesus is the Son of David. And the reason that I'm picking up on this is because in the very next chapter, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a colt on what we know as Palm Sunday. And that is the image of what? It's the image of the Messiah. It's the image of the Son of David returning to become the king. The long-awaited king. And the crowds cheered him on and they welcomed him into town as their long-awaited king. I suspect that's probably part of what they're praising God for. So, who is Jesus to you? Have your eyes been opened to who Jesus really is? To you, is Jesus just a nice bloke? Is he just a good teacher of morals? Is he God's substitute for a doctor? He's a healer, so that's who Jesus is to me. Is he a teacher? Is he a counsellor, someone to fix up your family problems? Is he an entertainer, someone who does miracles for us to marvel at? Who is Jesus to you? And have your eyes truly been opened to who Jesus truly is? He is Messiah. He is God's chosen one. He is the one anointed by God, the Son of David. He is Lord. He is King. Now, over the last few weeks, the message in Luke has been that Jesus is the one for whom we leave everything to follow. Last week we had the story about the rich ruler, and he didn't do that. And Jesus said, oh, how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And now, immediately, we meet a blind man. This bloke is almost certainly a beggar. That's why he would be sitting beside the road hoping that somebody would toss him a few coins so that he could survive for another day. He's got nothing. But he's just received the most precious gift that he's ever received, his sight, and he ups and follows Jesus. Let us be mindful of who we follow. Our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And let's also be mindful of the cost of our salvation. The suffering the ridicule, the humiliation, the death. And so let us be like the blind man who can now see. Let's see the things of God and leave everything to follow him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see you for who you truly are. You are the Lord God Almighty, but you're also the suffering servant. Jesus, it breaks our heart as we think upon the ridicule, the pain, the suffering that you went through. But joy overwhelms our sadness when we recall the resurrection. So we cry out, glory to God in the highest, that Messiah is raised from the dead. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you did on the cross. And we thank you that you call us to follow you. Lord, our prayer is that you would give us faith, that you would give us resolve to forsake all else, to follow you for your glory. Amen.